Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
All right, guys, we just have two interviews we're going to play for you today on this episode. The first one's with Connor Daly, who is driving the number 17 car in the Indy 500 with Tom Burns Racing in partnership with Dale Coyne Racing. And the second one is Kara Adams, who is chief engineer for Firestone Racing, an all-around amazing woman. We hope you enjoy these interviews, and they were recorded in the IndyCar Nation garage at the IMS, so there's some race cars in the background. And if you're not an IndyCar member, you should definitely join up. All of this information can be found on their website. And also stay tuned to our social media, which you can find at our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com, because we've got more fun heading your way. Hope to see you all at the track.
Okay, so I'm Abby, and this is Molly. We're from the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast, and as you all know, this is Connor Daly. All right. So he is in the number 17 Honda with Tom Burns Racing and Dale Coyne, and also the U.S. Air Force, which we love, especially since it's a Memorial Day weekend. Good time to represent the military. That seems to be a common theme with you, too. You're very pro-military.
It's great. I mean, I've been a very American dude ever since birth, so pretty cool to be able to represent this incredible group of people. Especially last week, I got to fly in a Thunderbird, which is really cool, so it gave me a real appreciation for what they're doing and the high level of just human being that it takes to be out there and that they've got going on. So it's really cool.
Very cool. Now, we did talk to your mom before this, and she gave us a list of questions for you. The first was, when are you going to shave the beard? Just kidding. We didn't really do that. All right. So we just got a few fun questions for you. What are you most excited about this month?
To be honest, just to get on track, first of all. It seems to be the hardest part. As a one-off entry, just getting on track, and then that's literally all I've been thinking about since September, so I have nothing else in my head right now except just trying to get on track, which is difficult.
I'm sure. Now, is there a hype song or something that you do to kind of get yourself ready to get in the car, kind of get yourself psyched up, or have you just kind of been running at 100 since you got a ride and just ready to go?
I don't think so. I like music a lot, but I headphones are hard to carry all the way to the grid, so it's just easy to just kind of go and do your own thing if I have time to listen to music, yes, but I wouldn't say it's mandatory before I get in the car.
All right. What's your best career memory?
I don't know. I mean, I've had some good moments that people seem to forget. The best moment that I've had was probably just passing Elio for the lead here at the Grand Prix. I love the Grand Prix. I love the whole, any race here. But, that whole situation and leading that stint towards the end of the race was awesome. We'd obviously use too much push to pass to stay there, but it was really fun to at least have a really good finish there. And just the way we got there, I think was really cool for me to do my rookie year. So I really enjoyed that, and so did my family, which was fun.
Since we're
going to
talk about your family, who would you say? Well, actually, I'll say that. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Connor's dad also has raced a few cars in his day. So how's the interaction between you and your dad, and how was that growing up? Because dads always have a lot of advice. They always got dad advice about everything, but especially when you both are race car drivers, it's real hard to escape, I would imagine.
I mean, honestly, he never really forced anything upon me. He obviously was doing something with racing and TV all the time, which was really cool. And there was racing stuff all over the place, and he was always building dirt bike engines or go-kart engines or four-wheeler engines. Every time me or one of my little brothers would seize an engine in the dirt bike or something, he would immediately somehow replace it with totally the wrong way, but as long as it ran, he would do it. So it was really cool to have that growing up. And then obviously when I got into racing, I could tell that, he was super passionate about it. He wanted to make sure that I was really passionate about it, because it really takes dedicating your entire life to it to make it. So You know, that was what he pushed on me every single day. And it was, you know, it was tough at the beginning, but it was really cool in the end, because I was like, you know what, he's right. Like, you really do have to, like, totally dedicate every piece of your life to this game that we play. So, so it's pretty cool. He's not really, you know, hands-on anymore, which I think is, just sort of his choice. I think he's a little, you know, he's sort of a little bitter about how the whole world is, the racing world is at the moment, but it's different from his day. We'll say that. You know, he made it from Formula 4 to Formula 1 in like 18 months because he could drive. So it was cool to be a part of that. So I think he loves to see when I get these opportunities. You know, I think he's, you know, he actually really does believe that I can drive now. At first, I didn't really know. I didn't know if he like actually thought I could do it. And then after the last few years, he's like, yeah, I think you can actually do it now. I was like, all right, well, that's cool. I appreciate that. So yeah, it's cool to have him around.
Where'd you say? Yeah, it sounds like Dennis. Yeah, that's Dennis for you. Always let you know where you feel it better. And there's finally that you're like, oh, okay, you do think I'm doing this. You think I'm doing this fairly well. All right, what's one of your worst races or worst times? I know there was a quote from last May. I don't remember what preempted it, but somebody interviewed you and you said, well, that was the least fun I've had all day. So you want to tell us about maybe one of those times, kind of how you overcome that as a driver?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably more tough times than good times as a racing driver. I think you just have to kind of push through all that you can to get to the good times. So, you know, I don't know. I think probably the whole business side is very difficult. I wouldn't even classify anything on track as bad as what we have to deal with outside of the car. So I think that's absolutely nothing. And if you have a crash, I would rather have a crash and then have a job again, like, than try to go through what it takes to get into that place. So it's really interesting to deal with. You would have no idea the people that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis and like the level of just human being that there is out there that just either will... There's just a lot of promises that are never kept, right? So it's one of those things that is really difficult. So I think that's, no matter what, that's above and all the most difficult part about the sport. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of us, you know, there's a lot of people in the same situation, a lot of people, you know, who have gone through it and have come out the other side. So, you know, I'm totally content with the situation right now. It's a great program that we've got here now, and there's obviously some cool stuff going on, you know, with Lily Diabetes and a bit of NASCAR action, which will be fun. So yeah, it's life is just has interesting, you know, twists and turns, just like a racetrack.
Absolutely. Well, and since you brought up Lily Diabetes and NASCAR, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and how you got involved with that?
Yeah, well, they, you know, they were a part of our program in 2016, which is really cool. Very last minute, though, like right after qualifying. So that was, you know, that was kind of just a little bit of a taste for them. I mean, we barely even got to do anything together. It was just so, if you do a deal after qualifying, it's just so, it all happens so fast. So, you know, we've been talking to them ever since then, but they're so committed to NASCAR. You know, they're the official diabetes health partner in NASCAR. So they've got so much, you know, going into that program. They just asked me in like January or December, they're like, well, would you ever drive a NASCAR? And I was like, dude, I will drive anything. I don't care what it is. So just let me drive something. And so they sort of just started working on it behind the scenes. Then they went out to the NASCAR race in Las Vegas. And, you know, I was talking to the Roush family guys and they were like, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, we're working on something for you. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool. I guess there was something going on that I didn't know about. But it was kind of nice to at least be appreciated at that level, and you know, a company try to really make something happen. You know, it wasn't like I was, you know, getting in a car that's already there. They're adding a car to the team, you know, for me. So that's a pretty big budget contribution for them, and you know, it's really cool to at least have that opportunity to do something different and probably have a lot of fun with it. You know, we'll just have to see how it goes. It'll be a steep learning curve, but definitely will be a cool thing. You know, I think a few of the other guys in this series have already expressed their jealousy of what, you know, we get to do, which will be fun.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know, I think James Hinchcliffe has mentioned before that he would enjoy the opportunity, so at least you know, on the full season for IndyCar, you can at least make some of the other drivers jealous. I mean, that's really important, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal in the end, is just make other people jealous.
I mean, let's see, tell us something about yourself that most people wouldn't know.
Well, geez, with the internet these days, pretty much everyone knows everything. I don't know. I've been asked that question before, and normally was my go-to was the diabetes thing, but everyone knows that. So I really had no hidden talents. Nope, can't do that. Can't do anything special other than circulate racetracks. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I'm her favorite. I've caused her the most stress in her life, I'm sure. So I don't know. I mean, I will have to think about that one because I genuinely don't know.
That's fair. All right, and then who would you say is the most influential person in your life aside from your parents?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, probably just the people that have helped me get this far. There's a guy by the name of Paul Sparta who's one of my probably the longest standing actual sponsor that I've had, and you know, it hasn't been a big, you know, massive contribution obviously, or else I'd be racing more often, but he's always been there to help me out a little bit. And he's sort of, you know, he was the guy who I had no money to do GP2, and you know, there was he was able to give a little bit to try and at least convince them that we were going to get the rest of it, and we never did, but he was he's always been the guy to kind of come through in the clutch, and he was again the guy who really, you know, we didn't have enough to make this deal happen, and he sort of came through like right in the clutch. So I've been working with him ever since like 2009 really. He was a sponsor when I won the Pro Mazda championship, and all my European stuff as well. So he's kind of seen me, and he sees the racing at a very deep level. He knows exactly what has happened to me, all of the different things, and he sees like what I've done, and he really really loves it. So I think we're gonna keep working with him, and who knows what'll happen in the future. But he's been a huge part of my life, I think, when it comes to like a human being that actually believes in you and helps you. So I think he's like really smart. Like he's in the military, and then he created this huge business and sold it for like $300 million. Like, so that's ideally what you want to do, is to like do that and then continue to just like be a smart guy and have fun with life. So that's kind of cool.
We're gonna take a quick picture, but everybody give Connor Gailey a big round of applause. Thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate it. I know we're all really excited to have a ride this time, but it's not the same here without you. And we have with us today Kara Adams. So, Kara, I'm going to hand you the mic and just kind of let you introduce yourself and tell everybody what your job title is and all that good stuff.
Hi, thanks for having me, and thank you guys so much for showing up. My name is Kara Adams, and I am the Chief Engineer for Bridgestone Americas Motorsports, and I also manage our race learning development team. So what that is we have a group of mechanical engineers, which is my background in mechanical engineering, and chemists, chemical engineers, and technicians. And these are the ladies and gentlemen that engineer the tires that go on all of the Verizon Pro Series cars, including everything you see for this weekend. Well, thank you. So if you could, for everybody here, kind of explain both educationally and kind of career-wise how you got to where you are today. Let's start way, way back when I was growing up. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was an engineer for NASA. He was a career military, and he had his engineering degree, and when he retired from the military, he went into NASA, and he started working on the Apollo missions, and he was one of those engineers. I don't know if any of you saw the Apollo 13 movie, but when they dumped the pile of parts onto the table, my grandfather was in that room. He was one of those people. So by the time he got to the Apollo mission, the space shuttle missions, he was actually in the control room on the launch team. We recently found some of the memorabilia he had, and I found his launch team jacket, which is awesome. Going through pictures, I also found a picture of myself at the delivery of STS-1 Columbia at the Atlantic Kennedy Space Center. I was there for that. I was probably napping because I was asleep in a baby carrier, but I was there. So I love of science from that. My mom is a science teacher, and she always pushed science and let us understand how cool it is. We had to go to science camps, so we got to do all kinds of cool stuff when I was a kid. So for me, there was never any girls can't do science because it's my mom. My mom's doing the science. My dad he's really great. He's a linguist. He knows several languages. He can speak probably 7 fluently. But my mom is the one that I always thought was a science person, so I thought, you know, science is really cool. So that was way back. Went to engineering school, and while I was there, I walked down into a machine shop where they were designing and building a Formula S80 style race car. So what that is a collegiate design competition where you actually build your own race car. You buy the engine, you buy the transmission, you put all of these pieces together. We're actually taking all of the tubes from Ollie Steel, we're cutting them all right, we're marking them up. That's how I actually learned how to use all kinds of machine tools through this program. Mechanical engineering, found a job at Bridgestone Americas, so we have this great Firestone racing program that goes back to 1911. The very first Indy 500 car that we won on Firestone tires, the Marvin Moss, Ray Maroon riding, and he drives the victory lane on tires. So I know I was going to be good there. Pestered by Wayne Racing, started in vehicle dynamics, then moved over to racing, and here I am, talking to you ladies.
Thank you.
That is awesome. So there's a huge push right now with STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and getting women interested in STEM. But with your background, there was never any issue. I mean, you just grew up that women do science. So I think that's great. I'm a nurse, so I have a science degree, and it was a hard degree, but I'll tell you what, mechanical engineering, that is a special kind of torture. So congratulations. That's excellent. What would you say is your favorite part of your job?
So I have a lot of favorite parts. When I became chief engineer about a season and a half ago, and from that, it's being able to see the development of my team. So we have, again, engineers, chemists, the whole group, seeing them grow and gel as a team and be able to put together these amazing tires that are out here going 230 miles per hour. It was really hard transition from the engineer responsible to now overseeing all of the engineers, because as an engineer, you want to have your hands in everything, and now you have to trust your team. So they do an amazing job. That's great. One of the highlights I have, two of them I'll talk about. One is hearing drivers get off the track and say, oh, I have so much confidence in these Firestone tires, I don't ever worry about anything. And then the second is being able to talk about what I do to young ladies. Having girls come up to the track and saying, hey, I'm interested in science. I met a young lady in 2008 in Milwaukee, and she told me she was interested in going into engineering. So I started talking to her, emailing her, and she decided to go into engineering school and then graduated, and she's an engineer at Harvard-Davidson now. So I have a few stories like that, and for me, that is one of the things I'm most passionate about. So being able to see that and see some of those changes is pretty awesome for me.
Well, and actually, to piggyback on that, because I would really like to talk about STEM and promoting that to young women, if you could give one piece of advice to young girls or young women who are thinking about entering into STEM, what would that be?
Opportunity to talk to some girls like Katie Hargett and Margaret Brown in the Field of Female project, which was awesome. One of the things that came up in that is when I was younger, I had a lot of people that maybe didn't believe in me. My parents always believed in me, but there were people around me that said, you can't do that. And even in high school, I had a sister-in-law said, you're the least mechanical person I know. And I thought, it's not right. Like, why are people saying this? But to be able to make those decisions yourself, nobody can tell you what you're good or not good at. You know what you're good at, and you can. If you're not great at something, you can go out and work on it. So my biggest thing is not wanting to tell you what you can do or what you can't do. Make that on your own. Decide what those are. And you know, the power of your brain saying that you can't do something is really strong. So you have that positive mindset and just go out and change things if you need to.
I know, we need more microphones. I think that's an excellent point, because I mean, the power of your own voice in the back of your head really holds a lot of weight. And so, yeah, if you believe everybody that tells you you can't do something, then I don't think any of us would ever do anything. So, let's see, do you still feel kind of starstruck when you saw these drivers, or did that go away pretty quickly?
I'll be honest, the only driver I've ever felt starstruck around was Mario Andretti. Like, the first time I got on track, I was working with Deanna McCutcheon and Marco Andretti. It's like, okay, yeah, driver's corner. And then Mario walks in the room and he's like, Mario Andretti. And Mario took me for a two-seater ride yesterday when I was around here. I saw him yesterday and he said, hey, I need to tell you something about
out the front tires. I need you to go for a ride with me. Can you do that tomorrow? I was like, yeah, okay. Why are you dirty asking if I can take a ride around the Indianapolis Motor City? Okay, I can pencil you. Yeah, that was, this morning was my ride.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah. I ran the house, and I was like, why are the cars on the track right now?
Yeah, I heard it from the house. So, well, and Molly probably just said, I bet that's just you. So, you are, yeah, I can understand that around Mario Andretti. Yeah, he's a legend. He is a legend.
One more thing on that. The nice thing about Indy car drivers is they're so down to earth. So you're asking if I'm starstruck or anything like that. Really, they're all normal people. For the most part, everybody's super down to earth. They're nice people. They're just really solid people that are caring. They are very much part of our family. So when we're in a design review and when we're talking about tires, our customers, our drivers are always in the back of our head. We call them the boss. They're always there with us. Our engineers work right alongside the engineers that do Bridgestone and Firestone passenger tires. So it's great for us as race tire engineering to be able to take that back to the rest of the company at interaction with the customer, where they're not just a customer, they're not just somebody paying for tires, they are part of our family. And so that extends past what we do in racing all the way to passenger.
So it is May, and we are here at the track. How hectic is the month of May for you and your team?
Well, we start the month of May about a year before. So we're working on next year right now. So it starts really early. We do so much planning. Before we get to the track, we have the tires being tested, surveillance testing on so much. So when we get to the track, we unload, we are ready to go. That being said, it is nonstop. When we get here in the morning, got here this morning around 7:30. We usually leave somewhere around 7:30 p.m. So it's a long day, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of questions, a lot of needs from a lot of people who were in talking to the Penske engineers this morning. So it is nonstop. It is crazy for us, but it's a good kind of crazy, and we love it.
I'm sure. It's a very busy month. So, were you into racing when you were growing up? Did you have a favorite driver as a kid?
I was not into racing. No, I wasn't. I was into Legos, and I was into Transformers, and I was into stealing my mother's toys. And I
had your own Barbies.
So I did a lot of stuff like that. My parents weren't racing fans. They weren't sports fans at all. Not a sporting family. We did a lot of stuff, a lot more science-related stuff. So not a lot of stuff in racing. It wasn't until I was in college and my husband won tickets to the Cleveland Grand Prix up at Lakefront Airport. So we're up at that race, and I am fascinated by the cars. I don't really care about the drivers, and I'm like, yeah, that's nice, you guys are piloting these things, but watching the cars go through the chicane right at the pit entrance was amazing. Just seeing the compliance of the car, seeing how it behaved in the road, and watching the cars.
Spoken like a
true engineer.
Yeah, exactly. one of the things we like to ask everybody is, what sort of a hidden talent or something that you can do that not a lot of people know about you?
I can do pull-ups now. This is crazy. I do triathlons. I do 70.3 Ironman distances. That's not the crazy part. I'm not the crazy part yet. So this December, I'm sitting at my desk and I get a call from our communications team that says, hey, we need to talk to somebody from IndyCar. They have a great reason. If you're willing to, we would like you to train for it and possibly compete in American Ninja Warrior. At the time, I couldn't even do it. I could run forever. Or like you, I could swim forever. But I said, well, you know, we're talking about the power of positivity or negativity in your brain. I was like, you know what? I'll try. And I was like, we'll go home and I'll see what I can do. You know, can I do a pull-up? No. I had to do 100 pounds of assist on my first pull-up, and I just worked up to it. So for the video I did, I actually bench pressed tires. I took IndyCar tires, put them on IndyCar wheels, nobody knows how heavy they are. Put them on a bench press bar, and it's bench pressing. So that's a good sign.
So as you're training, since you obviously do that all the time, so training for anything or getting ready for a big race day, one of our other favorite questions is, do you have a hype song? maybe a playlist with a couple different songs that you like to just throw in that kind of get you fired up and ready to go.
I do, but I'm so bad with song names. I have a couple of Pandora playlists that I use, so I have a couple of Seed songs that are good there. There are songs that I really would listen to, I said, like, but no, I don't know song names, unfortunately.
That's all right. Let's see, I don't know that I have. You want to give me any other questions? All right, well, Perrican, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Give a big hand. And we love seeing a very smart woman in such a wonderful position here in Firestone at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway involved in IndyCar. So